And good morning, and welcome to the NRMC Pride Report here on 97.5 FM, Double K Country. I'm Mike Harbit. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning. It's time to find what's happening at Nevada City Hospital, Nevada Regional Medical Center. And Jennifer Eaton, the Community Relations Manager and Foundation Director, is here to tell us about a familiar voice now here on 97 FM.
Yeah, tell
us
good morning, here. Mike.
Thanks.
I brought back with me Jason McCormick, serving as our interim CEO, and we're going to talk a little bit about the hospital and updates we've had going on.
All right, very good. So, Jason, it's always good to see you. I know your time is valuable because you're not here all the time, going back and forth between your home and Colorado and here. So, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Mike.
All right, so let's get into what's going on. And we're going to revisit a topic that we've talked about about every couple of months. We get into this, and because we know people are very interested, and you know, hospitals are very valuable to their communities. And we're going to talk about the continued financial turnaround for NRMC. So let's go back to the beginning and go back to the summer of 2024 and kind of tell us where this all started from.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. So, you know, certainly the summer and the year of 2024 was a very critical time for Nevada Regional Medical Center. We had several things that we had to address to keep the hospital open. But the first one is what we call the forbearance agreement. That's where the bondholders had a right to come in and take possession of the hospital and sell it off or sell it or something of that nature. But they didn't want to do that. That's not really their MO, but they did want us to wake up and realize that things were bad and put together a plan and to fix it. And we were able to do both of those things. We were able to work out the forbearance agreement, working with the city and the attorneys with BAM and all of that, and establish a forbearance agreement and giving us the time and space to fix things. And we came up with a plan to be able to fix the conditions of the hospital.
And as you went forward, speaking of BAM, we haven't talked about them in a long time, but I assume at this point they're pretty thrilled with how things are going?
Yeah, they are. They're very thrilled with
you might tell people
the progress.
BAM
stands for Build America Mutual. Mm-hmm. They are a mutual company. They're owned by other municipalities across the country, and they provide a service to help improve the bond rating of various city debt. And okay. So they're excited to see the progress that we made. There were some acute issues that we dealt with. I would say the first one was paying down some of our accounts payable so our vendors would work with us. Number two was stabilizing our workforce. We had a very toxic environment, and we listened to our employees. We did employee engagement surveys. We addressed their needs. We got them fair compensation, and you know, with all the inflation that had gone on, they really needed some resources to care for their families. And all of that translated into improved patient satisfaction.
All right, so the fiscal year for the hospital would have ended at the end of June of this year. You go July to June. So how did that turn out at the end of June of 2025?
You know, I was extremely blown away by the accomplishments that we had last year, last fiscal year. When we look back, our patient volumes and our patient revenues grew by 27% over the prior year. You know, and to be able to achieve that level of growth in an organization, especially a healthcare organization, is phenomenal. And so, you know, that equated to about $12 million in additional revenues to the organization.
And it's important to note, I think, that that revenue increase was because of increased patient volume, not pricing.
Correct. You know, we had actually decreased our charges in the fall of 2024, especially for diagnostic testing like labs and CTs, MRIs, things of that nature. We're implementing a program to make sure that we have affordable and convenient diagnostic testing. We want to get patients in, be seen by their doctor, get tested, figure out what's going on so we can get them to the right treatments.
All right. So let's talk about current. Let's go here towards the end of September. Where do things stand right now with the financial condition of the hospital?
Excellent. Very good question. So, you know, we stopped the descent last year and we kind of plateaued, and now we're starting to try and dig our way out. And a lot of people ask me about, well, so where do we sit with accounts payable? And, you know, I try to tell people, you know, a turnaround isn't just paying off accounts payable. It's a lot more than that. But certainly making sure that we're paying our vendors is a good sign of where we're headed. So currently we owe about $1.6 million to be able to get caught up on accounts payable, meaning that we've paid all of our invoices that are outstanding more than 30 days. And so that's an important hurdle for us to overcome, but there is a way for us to overcome that.
So what is needed then to continue to improve that financial condition?
So, you know, our current problem really is a receivables problem. We applied for a program from the federal government called the Employee Retention Tax Credit, and that's processed by the IRS. It can take 18 months, 2 years for them to make that payment. They owe us $4 million. If they were to pay that, then we would be caught up on accounts payable. We'd have a little money in the bank to cover a couple payrolls, be able to move forward with supporting more growth in the organization. There's also, there's a debt that's outstanding between us and Morphew. We hope to work with Morphew in the city to be able to address that debt that's outstanding. If we had that money, that would also contribute to us being able to pay our vendors as well. So that's why I say our current situation is more of a receivables problem than it is a revenues problem.
All right. So in the past, when you've been here, the last couple of times, we talked about needing to establish a hospital district. So let's revisit that, because that will be a ballot issue. So we'll tread where we can. But the we'll talk about again why that you feel like that's needed and what people, informational wise, would need to know if that would come to pass.
You know, there is so much that is changing in the industry of healthcare. Obamacare, the one big beautiful bill that was passed by Congress and the president, and decreasing reimbursements, a variety of things. We have a very old building. We have lots of services that we need to provide. So there are very important decisions that need to be made. And I think the number one reason why we need to become a hospital district is so that we have one board that can make all of the decisions to move the organization forward, and they can carry out those decisions. Over the years, you know, we have two boards. We have a city council that makes certain decisions on our future, as well as the hospital board. And sometimes they've not always agreed, and that's led to you just delaying decisions at the minimum, or maybe even making the wrong decisions.
My question is are hospital districts common? Is the way Nevada does it, and it kind of unusual?
Municipal hospitals really have gone by the wayside. There's only a couple left in the state. We're one of them. Most all of the other hospitals, whether they were municipal or they were county hospitals, have become hospital districts. And it is a much more healthy way to organize a healthcare system.
All right, very good. I'm sure we're going to get information on that as time goes on, as you work towards trying to get that onto a ballot. You're targeting April, as I remember?
Yeah, so we're working on getting petitions signed. Now, you know, anybody can sign the petition. What you're saying if you sign the petition is you want it to be a community decision. You're not saying you for it or against it. You're just saying put this on the ballot so the community can decide. Mm-hmm. So we're getting out and trying to get people to sign the petition. Number two is we're conducting lots of meetings to be able to educate people on what a hospital district is, how it will benefit us, what would be alternatives if we don't go in the direction of a hospital district. You know, we met with the city, we met with the hospital, we've met with the medical staff this week. This past week, we met with all the staff, and so we're now starting to go out and meet with people in the community. I'll be organizing, first off, a leadership summit, if you will, inviting all political leaders and all business leaders, business owners, to some meetings and to be able to go over these issues about how do we pay for healthcare going forward.
Okay, very good. All right, let's go. Good information today. Anything else we might have missed?
No, that's it. I just would invite the residents of the community to continue to communicate to me, what are we not doing to meet their expectations so that we can continue to grow the patient volumes? We can double the number of patients that we care for. What I'm saying is, you know, more than 50% of the community is still driving out of the community to get health care, and we need them back, and I need to know what I need to fix.
All right, very good. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. That's Interim CEO Jason McCormick with Nevada Regional Medical Center, and back to Jennifer briefly to tell us about an upcoming event or two.
Yeah, so community events. This week, we are finalizing all of our preparations for the Foundation's 10th annual Designer Purse Bingo event. That'll be taking place this Sunday, September 28th. Of course, that was a sold-out event very quickly. It usually is. It's very popular. And so,
find a bigger building.
Yes, yes. But all of those ladies that were lucky enough to grab tickets should be in for a really fun afternoon on Sunday. So,
well, congratulations on the sold-out status.
Yes, thank you. And then coming up early October, we have our monthly birth and beyond class. That's a childbirth class usually intended for women in their last trimester of pregnancy. Usually those first time mamas like to take that class. And it is going to be on Saturday, October 11th from 9 to noon. And that is held up in our mezzanine conference room.
All right. Very good. Great information for today's Pride Report. Jennifer, Jason, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is today's NRMC Pride Report. I'm Mike Arbit. Thanks for joining us.